fifth aliyah of Parshas Metzora begins with a pretty grandiose phrase, Zos HaTorah, this is the Torah. So it's not talking about everything, but it is still seemingly a little bit more inclusive than one would expect. Zos HaTorah L'chol Nega HaTzaras V'Lanosek. And the Torah's Kohanim says that this is to teach us a lesson that somebody who is a baki in Negayim, but not in Nesakim, shouldn't look even at Negayim, and vice versa, and that essentially the Pasuk is telling you that in order to paskin even on a specific area here, to rule on a specific area, one needs to have expertise in the whole category, in this whole section, which is a interesting halacha. The Gemara in Maseches Erevin and Daf and Dalet Amud Aleph has a different limud here, that this is also to tell you, considering the fact that we are talking about various afflictions, that this conveys the message of Chash Berosho Yasek B'Torah, that somebody who is afflicted should turn to Torah in order to rectify that. In this case, the meaning is a little bit more direct, that since we understand that these afflictions are a consequence of various spiritual failings, so therefore looking to Torah to rectify that is even more directly understood. And specifically, the Gemara Maseches Erechin tells us that Torah is an antidote to Lashon Hara. This was a topic that was taken up in some of the Haskamas to the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, where they raised the issue of, given that the Gemara does say that, so it's amazing to consider the fact that somehow there are Talmidei Chachamim in the world who still nonetheless speak Lashon Hara. So how is that possible if Torah is the antidote to Lashon Hara? And they suggest that maybe it has to be Torah that is more specifically directed at the issues within Lashon Hara, and therefore it's very good that Chafetz Chaim wrote a sefer, and they included that topic in the Haskama to that effect. So to look here at Pasuk Nun Zayin, after listing all of these different types of afflictions, and the Pasuk concludes with saying, Lahoros biyom hatamei uvyom hatahor zos taras hatzaras. So here, this reference to the daytime is to teach that this can only be done at the daytime. The Menches Chinuch suggests that that's referring specifically to looking at the Nega, but one can still take steps such as to proceed to Hesker at night. But the Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Aras and Perek Tes Halacha Tes is not that way. It's that nothing in this process can be done at night. And there's discussion about this in the Sefer Chavetzal Sasharon Al HaTorah, where the question is analyzed. When we say that this is limited only to the daytime, is that essentially because it's a process of din, and we're saying that therefore it can only be done during the daytime, or is it more of a practical consideration that the Re'iyah needs light, and therefore that has to be done during the daytime, but other parts of the process perhaps could be done at night? So this difference between the Menches Chinuch and the Rambam perhaps reflects these different possibilities. If we look now to a little bit further in the Aliyah, Pasuk Hey is the source, one of the sources for a very crucial concept. V'ish asher yigah b'mishkavo, yichabes b'gadav, v'rachatz b'mayim v'tomei ad ha'arev. So this idea of v'rachatz b'mayim, this is one of the sources for tara b'mikvah. And there's an extensive discussion as to the messages of mikvah, what it is that the mikvah is there to address, the types of tumah. And Rav Rivlin has an essay about this in his sefer. Others comment as well that the idea is that it is always a theme of Siluk Chaim, that which represents the absence of life, or the absence of potential for life, as with Nida, or with the Avi Avos HaTumba is actual death. So therefore, the immersion in a mikvah is meant to symbolize rebirth. And Rav Dessler discusses how this idea reflects leaving this world completely and being immersed completely in Torah without any interruption, and that's why there can't be any kind of a kli, which is a tool of Olam Hazah. All of that reflects the symbolism that is connected to the mikvah as transmitted by this pasuk. And the next pasuk also continues the theme of Hayoshev al kli asher yeshev olav hazav yichabes begadol v'rachatz b'mayim v'tomei ad ha'arev. So here, anyone who sits on a kli that his av has sat on also has to wash his clothes and himself be immersed in water. So here the Gemara in Chagiga and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph tells us that this is a reference to Mei Mikvah, and Rashi comments that this is to the exclusion of Shuvim, of water that was drawn from somewhere else. And Tosfos objects and says that no, that halacha of the disqualification of Shuvim is learned from somewhere else. That's learned from the pasuk of Ach Mayan, that it's only that water that is not Shuvim that is valid. And the Achronim note, there's a discussion about this in the Sefer Beichia here, and others have this approach as well. The question in general of whether Shuvim is essentially excluded from the definition of the water that is kosher for a mikveh. That's how Rashi apparently is understanding. Or is it water that is pusel? And that's apparently Tosfos' understanding. And one nafkamina would be the question of, is rov okay min haTorah? That if you have water that is shuvin, but it's only a minority of it, and rov of it is not shov, so at least on a level min haTorah, would that be kosher? That was the position of the Rashi in his commentary to Mikvos and Perek Beis, while others disagreed. The Rashbam in his commentary to Bava Basra and Daf Samach Zayin Bar Aleph and the Tosfos Ritz and Pesach HaShabbos and others took the position that even if only a minority of the water is shuvin, so that would also still be disqualified even on a level min haTorah. And that seems to connect to this question: is the idea that this is water that's completely excluded from that which is kosher from a mikveh and therefore can't even through the process of bittul be connected to a part of what's necessary, or is it water that theoretically could be converted over to a kosher state to be acceptable for the mikveh? To skip here to Pasuk Yud Aleph, the language is V'chol asher yiga bo hazav yadav lo shatav b'mayim v'chibes b'gadav rachatz b'mayim v'tomei ad ha'arev. So here, this language of Yadav lo shatav b'mayim, the Gemara Maseches Chulin and Daf Kuvav Mar Aleph quotes the view of Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, that you see from here a smach, a basis for the idea of Netilas Yadayim min haTorah. And the Torah Tamima considers this surprising because the context of the pasuk is not really talking about washing your hands, it's really talking about Tvilas Kol Gufo. So the idea that this should have any kind of connection to the notion of Netilas Yadayim seems a little bit surprising, and he suggests that perhaps Chazal understood that the Tvila for Azav over here really is because of his unclean hands, and the notion of Yadayim Asgonios is the Mishnah Berurah and the Shulchan Aruch talk about in the very first siman, the idea of Nekelbasser in the morning. But because of a chumrah coming from that, so the Torah requires a immersion of the entire body. But the Din D'Rabbanan is specifically targeted to what it's based on, and therefore it becomes Netilas Yadayim. But that's all the view of Rabbi Elazar ben Arach here. The Gemara also quotes the opinion of Abaye that it's because of Srach Tuma, that it's because of the concern that Kohanim have to eat Truma B'Tara, and we want to make sure they don't forget that. So therefore we may an enactment in order to protect that. And that's connected to a whole discussion that the Bahag generally counts mitzvos d'Rabbanan as mitzvos, but here he doesn't count this, and the Rambam asks on him why he doesn't, according to his opinion. And the Ramban, who doesn't have the same view as the Bahag, but nonetheless often defends him as he does here, so he suggests that maybe it's because it's not an actual independent mitzvah, it's a gezerah. But Tosfos and Maseches Chulin over here in this Gemara that comments on this, and Daf Kuvav notes that if it's connected to this pasuk, that it's actually a new concept, and maybe it should be counted separately. And the Brisker Rav, in his comments to Maseches Sota and Daf Dalet Amud Beis, suggests that there's two dinim in Netilas Yadayim. There is the din in Nikias, and there is also the concept of Srach Tuma, and each one has its own details, and that's relevant also, a little bit of Inyana Diyoma, that the Gemara in Psachim, and the Tosis in Psachim, and Daf Kuf Tezayin Amud Beis, talks about the question of Abracha for the Netila for Karpas, and if you assume that it's only because of the Gzera of Strach Tuma, so then perhaps it's understandable why it wouldn't have a bracha, because it's only there as a negative concept. To go to Pasuk Yud Gimel, so we hear here the days of counting for a Zav, and the language of the Pasuk is V'safar Lo, Shivas Yamim L'Tahiraso. So this language of Lo, the Torah's Konan picks up on it, says Lo, La'atzmo, he should count for himself. So the Torah Tamima understands that that must be parallel to what the Gemara says in Ksubis on Daf Ayin Beis and Aleph regarding a woman counting her days of Nidus. And the language is there, V'safra la la'atzma, and that she counts for herself, and there we have the idea that she is trusted to do so, and the notion of Erecha Neman V'Yisurin, according to many of the Rishonim, is derived from there, and perhaps the Chazal are telling us a parallel concept over here. And we'll just note that the last three psukim in the Aliyah, so there was a fascinating remez that Reb Gershon Chenech of Radzin derived from these psukim together that talk about this process of becoming tahor, that there are 49 words total, and he suggests that this is a remez to the 49 days that confer tahara through the preparation for Kabbalah Torah from Pesach to Shavuos, from the second day of Pesach to Shavuos. So this is a little bit in Yonah Diyoma as well, as we are almost up to that point. And he also suggests, once we're saying this, that these 49 words parallel the 49 days of Sfira. So he notes that the 33rd of these 49 words is Moed, to represent Lag BaOmer, a fascinating remez. But keeping this path, that these psukim, which have very specific references to the process of Tara from Tuma, also have many other levels of meaning for us in our own quest for continuing Tara from all different types of Tumah.